Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
We are continuing today a broadcast that we began yesterday, and it was on this simple thing, how men can safely minister to women, and ordinarily, you've got to be extremely careful here. We'll start today the same way we did yesterday and remind you that as a general rule, it is better for a woman that you trust to minister to another woman than it is for you to minister to her. Titus chapter 2 verses 3 through 5 show you what elder women can do to train younger women and to give counsel in all kinds of areas. Very, very important. Your wife can do this. A very godly woman in your church can minister to her, certainly in ways that you can't. And furthermore, a woman understands the heart of a woman, and she's certainly going to understand the heart of a woman more than you ever will. Now, there are going to be circumstances, they come up, where you're going to find yourself in a situation where you have to minister to a woman. And when that happens, you want to be exceedingly careful. And you want to be well protected, because the last thing in the world you want is something to go awry. Or, unfortunately, some want it to go awry, and I'm telling you, you really don't want to go down that road. Now, let me give you a quick review of where we were yesterday, and then we'll pick up today with more thoughts. Yesterday, we said this simply. The thing to do is to fear God, number one, and that is because God can see your heart, and He knows your motives, and He is always on the lookout. His eyes go to and fro through the earth, beholding the evil and the good. Second thing to do is keep your heart. Don't let it go out in compassion to another woman, because you may find that you are then drawn away and enticed by your lust. Quell the need to be needed. One advantage of being in the ministry is that you're able to help needy people, because it fulfills something in your life. It provides a satisfaction that you've done something good to help somebody. But if you're not careful, you're going to keep somebody else in a needy position so that they're always fulfilling your need. It's a ripe recipe for trouble with a woman down the road. Control your thought life. You have to be very, very careful about that, because just because she can't see what you're thinking about doesn't mean that you can think about that in her presence, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says it's going to come out in your actions. Be aware. You got somebody that's using that as an opportunity to make an approach on you. What you need to do is just say no and get out of there. Never allow yourself to be alone with a woman, unless she's your wife or your daughter, of course. But never allow yourself to be alone with a woman together. Because when there's another set of eyes on the situation, you can't do anything. The best person to have there is her father or her husband. Limit your physical contact, because that can get things stirred up. It is good for a man not to touch a woman, and control your eyes. Learn to control your eyes all the time, and then position yourself so that you cannot see anything that's improper whatsoever in a situation where you're trying to minister to a woman. All right, now here's the next thing. Starting new today with these things, and you find yourself as a man in a need or in a position where you're having to minister to a woman, watch your words. Be careful what you say. Watch your words, because words reveal the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, you see. And when you say anything sensual, or you say anything descriptive, or you say anything suggestive, it might be perceived as a come on, or it might even, worse yet, be accepted you know, that you say something, and then the next thing you know, you're getting a response, and now one thing is leading to another. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So just don't even talk about that stuff. Just be very careful where you allow the conversation to go. Certain slang words can lead to trouble. So what you want to do, like Paul told Timothy, be an example in your words, in your conversation, which has to do with your behavior, and in your purity. Be an example in word and conversation and in purity. Just ask yourself this question: would everyone else approve of what you are saying if they were to know everything that you're saying? And if they wouldn't, then don't say what you're about to say when you're in a situation where you're trying to minister to a woman. Watch your words. All right, here's the second thing. Don't get personal. Don't get personal. Make it clear from the beginning that any reference to anything intimate is to be reserved for her husband. That is, if you find in the conversation that there is something that she has to tell you for you to be able to understand why she feels the way she feels, or what's going on in the relationship with her husband that's not working out right, or anything else like that, and it's an intimate thing, something that you shouldn't know, and something she shouldn't be telling you, something that should be reserved for her husband, like the exchange between Solomon and his wife in the Song of Solomon, or maybe it's something that is intimate and should be reserved for a professional counselor who has training in these matters, then you know what? That particular thing, whatever it is, has no place in your conversation. What can happen is you can sit there thinking, I wonder what that's all about, and then go in and start waiting on her to say things that you're going to get your mind in a very, very bad place, or both of you into trouble. So be careful with that. Also, when ministering to anyone, particularly a woman, limit references to your personal experiences. In other words, you might say something about what goes on in your life to help the person you're talking to understand that you understand what's going on in her life, but you might end up saying something that's going to lead her to have an improper thought about you, or something that she might even repeat to other people about what you said to her. So don't do that. Stay away from references to your personal life. You know, something that's kind of on a lighthearted, funny basis or something like that might help somebody understand, okay, yeah, we've been down that road, but nothing sensual at all. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Be careful. Don't get personal. Here's the next thing. If you find yourself as a man in a position where you just have to minister to a woman, be objective. Be objective. See, when you start feeling sorry for a woman to whom you are ministering, you have the tendency to go too easy on her, to feel bad for her, to not say what needs to be said. What she may need is she may need a stern correction, but here you are trying to be tender and all, you know, gentle and everything. Listen, you have to be careful not to become so close that you lose your ability to be direct and that you lose your ability to give proper counsel. It's good to be gentle, but not too tender-hearted, because sometimes what really needs to happen is a strong rebuke. You know, just because she's a woman doesn't mean that she's not the one that got out of line, okay? The Bible says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And if it comes necessary to exercise somebody in a little chastening, knowing that it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, then be objective and say what needs to be said. All right, if you find yourself as a man needing to minister to a woman, or you find yourself as a woman in the situation where somebody's supposed to minister to you, remember these things you're hearing. Because they're going to really help you and help the person that you're with stay out of trouble. Okay? Here's the next thing. Carefully consider your wisdom. Carefully consider your wisdom. In other words, you're trying to give wise counsel, but you have to be very, very careful about the source of your wisdom. I'm going to spend a little time on this because this is a very, very subtle and yet very, very important part. You see, in James chapter 3, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's one wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Looks good, because it's wisdom, but it is definitely the wrong kind. Then there's another kind of wisdom that comes from God Almighty. They are both wisdom, and so they are both considered wise counsel when they're given. And both of them work, at least for a while. However, the fruit of the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish is evil. And the reason that it's evil is its source is wicked. However, the fruit of the other wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, is righteous because its source is holy. Look at James chapter 3 and look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I have good friends of mine right now that are just all messed up in this. Years and years ago, I walked down the same road. And I'm going to tell you something. This fruit of this kind of wisdom, earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, it works well for a little while. And then what happens is it starts bearing bad fruit. And you're going to find envying and strife and confusion and every evil work crop up. And I'm watching it happen. And you know, you try to explain to some people who are affected by this kind of wisdom that their relationship is messed up because of that kind of wisdom. And you cannot even reach them because they feel, see, it's sensual. They feel like it's the right thing. And it's earthly. It works. They can see it. It's tangible. They don't even realize the author of that kind of wisdom is the devil. And so obviously it is going to have wicked results. And this kind of wisdom, this earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom, I'll tell you where a lot of it comes from, psychology. And I've got to be clear with you, a lot of what is on the bookshelves in Christian bookstores is of this kind of wisdom. The public confession of sin and accountability groups is an example of this kind of wisdom. And eventually the people who follow this wisdom manifest envy, strife, confusion, and every evil work. You've got to be so careful when you go to the bookstore to find self-help books to clear up things for you and your family. Because the author of a lot of that stuff is psychology. They simply go to the Christian bookstore because there's a vast market for the material there, and they simply quote Bible so that you think that the thought came from God and not from the psychologist. And it is absolutely tearing up the work of God within Christian homes and a lot of times in churches. Okay? Now, the wisdom of God is a totally different thing. The wisdom of God is, look at it, verse 17, James chapter 3. The wisdom of God is from above, and this, listen, it is first pure. Now, we're talking about men in a situation where they're ministering to a woman. You want the wisdom to be pure. You got it? If you're trying to stay out of trouble and keep from creating problems from the person you're trying to help or problems for you, you want the wisdom that you're giving to be pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is, you don't reserve this kind of wisdom for one person that it's not appropriate to the other. It's without partiality. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now listen, the right kind of wisdom doesn't lead to impure thoughts. It doesn't lead to impure motives. It doesn't lead to impure actions because it's full of good fruits. It's impartial so that what you tell one person, you could tell to anybody else, and it is without hypocrisy so that what you say matches exactly the way you live and the way you want the other person to live. So do not counsel with the wrong kind of wisdom because it leads to sin. We're talking today about how a man, when he finds himself in a situation where he absolutely has to, can counsel or with a woman or minister to a woman. Perhaps there's been a death in the family, or you're a good friend, a close friend of the family. Perhaps you are a minister. Perhaps you're a Sunday school teacher or something like that, where you find yourself in the situation where it's not possible at the time for a woman to be able to minister to her, and you have to give something. Then just a quick review of where we've been today. Watch your words, because the words reveal the heart. Don't get personal with them or with you. Keep the intimate stuff out of it. Be objective, so if they need a swift rebuke, you can give that. Carefully consider your wisdom so you're never dealing with earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. You're always dealing with the Scripture, God's wisdom, what God said. And you could repeat the conversation out in public as well as in the privacy of the room, because you didn't say anything that was of the wrong kind of wisdom. Now, let's continue on with this condition now. If you're a married minister, or you're a married man in a Sunday school class, or you're a married man that finds yourself from time to time comforting, you know, grieving people that have gone through the loss of a family member or something, any kind of a situation like that, here are four other things that you can do that are going to really help you when you find yourself in a situation where you have to then minister to a woman. Number one, maintain open and honest communications with your wife. Maintain open and honest communications with your wife. Listen, if communication breaks down at home, and communication with a woman to whom you are ministering is more open and more honest, you are going to eventually, albeit inadvertently, destroy your communication with your bride at home completely. Do you understand me? If you can find somebody who is a woman in whom you can confide, tell her things that you just don't feel liberty to tell your wife at home, you are going to destroy what's left of the communication that you have with your wife at home. See, I was in the business world before I went into the ministry, and I remember distinctly secretaries and bosses having conversations, and oftentimes they began to confide in each other things that were going on at home they didn't even feel comfortable telling their own spouses. And you know what happened? The relationships, the marriages, ended up in divorce, and the boss and the secretary got married. And that's not an uncommon scenario, and it, you know where it comes from? A breakdown in communication at home. So what you need to do is you need to remain very honest with your wife and make sure that she is being honest with you. You know, I've watched men and women in conversation with each other, and you see a man sometimes struggling to try to tell his wife what he really wants to say. He's trying to couch it in just the right words so that it won't offend her, but what he'd really rather say is something he might be able to tell his best friend that's on a golf course, you know, and he can come right out and tell him, but he doesn't feel comfortable doing that with his wife because, you know, all the complications of a man and a woman, all the complications that come up in marriage sometimes. And let me tell you something. When you have that kind of difficulty, what you want to do is go to work on that difficulty. Don't go confide in another woman, because it's very common for personal communication between a man and a woman to then lead to trouble. So if you're not the kind of guy that can have open, honest, full communication with your wife at home, you have absolutely no business ever getting in a situation where you're going to try to counsel a woman or minister to a woman at a time of need. You just have to You just have to say, you know what, I'm not qualified to do this. Somebody else is going to have to do this because I'm not on good terms with my wife right now. The last thing we need to improve our marriage is for me to get hooked up in another relationship. Do you see how that goes? All right, here's another thing. If you're married and you find yourself in situations from time to time where you have to minister to a woman, keep yourself accountable to your wife. Keep yourself accountable to your wife. People always talk about accountability, and I think some of that accountability stuff goes way too far. I'm accountable to God, yes. I'm accountable to my wife, yes. This idea of making yourself accountable to a whole bunch of other people out here, I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. If you've got good accountability with your spouse and real good accountability with God, you've covered accountability. You know? Okay, now listen. You are not on a leash, but you should keep your wife informed about where you are and what you're doing all the time. Now, there's great trust in a relationship where the husband knows where his wife is and what she is doing, and where the wife knows what her husband is doing and where he is. Listen, your wife should be able to use your telephone, use your computer, use your notebook, or whatever other communication device you have, and not be surprised by anything that she finds or anything that she sees. Your life with your wife ought to be a completely open book. She ought to know everything that's going on when it concerns your personal life outside of the house and all other kinds of communications that you're having with all kinds of other people. If you're married and you find yourself in situations where you have to minister to a woman, maintain open and honest communications with your wife, keep yourself accountable to your wife, and keep the intimacy in your relationship. Now, there's more of this kind of teaching on the radio and in pulpits these days than there probably should be, but I'm going to go ahead and just hit this subject a little bit and move on to the next one because it is important. Make sure as the years go by in your marriage that the flame doesn't go out. It's easy with the addition of children and responsibilities and the ministry and other things like that to turn your attention away from each other. Don't let your familiarity with each other, your physical features, cool your passion for each other. There was a very wise 91-year-old woman, and you know what she said? What you got is better than what you can get. What you got is better than what you can get. That's good. I'll tell you, another wise person said it this way. If you're not happy with what you have, you won't be happy with what you want. Because contentment is a matter of your heart, not the other person. So if you're not happy with what you have, then you're not a content person. And therefore, you won't be happy with what you want. Amnon thought he wanted Tamar. After he'd had her, he hated her. And the hatred he had for her was greater than the love that he had for her. You know what the problem was? He wasn't content. So keep the intimacy in your relationship. That's what keeps you out of one of the things that keeps you out of trouble when you find yourself in a situation where you have to minister to a woman. And then this. If you're married, add these things to your thoughts and to your life to make sure that if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're ministering to a woman, you don't get in trouble. Don't give any of the affection that belongs to your wife to another woman. You hear me? Don't give any of the affection that belongs to your wife to another woman. If for any reason you have room for more affection than you are giving at home, then by all means, don't give that bit of affection to another woman. Your desire to be with, you know, this other woman instead of your wife is only going to grow. In other words, if you find that you're in a situation where you can minister to a woman and there's some sort of affection going out to this woman, let me tell you something. Don't give that little bit that you have to her. Take it home with you and give that affection to your wife. Do not derive pleasure from the presence of a woman. Don't derive pleasure from your communication with another woman. that should only be derived from being in the presence of your wife. You got it? I mean, this is where a lot of fellows apparently get in trouble. They don't realize, hey, I'm sort of enjoying this relationship, and the next thing you know, it grows, and the relationship at home dwindles, and then the man finds himself in trouble with another woman. Let me summarize for you, if we can, what we've been talking about concerning men ministering to women in some capacity. As a general rule, you always want to make sure that a woman you trust, is the one who is doing ministry to a woman, okay? But there are circumstances that will come up where you find yourself, you have to do it. And if that's the case, then number one, fear God, because he knows your heart. And fear God because he's got his eyes on you and you can't hide anything from him. Fear God. And certainly don't worry about fearing other people. They'll let you get away with things God will never let you get away with. Number two, keep your heart. Don't let your heart go out in compassion to another woman, because then your lust will follow, you'll be drawn away, and you'll be enticed. Quell or put down the need to be needed. Ministering to people is satisfying when you really are able to do them some good, but if you keep getting pleasure out of that, you're going to find yourself always being needy of other people's attention, and you're going to find yourself in trouble. Control your thoughts, because your thoughts lead to actions, and bring those thoughts into captivity and to obedience of Jesus Christ. Be aware. Walk circumspectly. You're getting ready to go into a situation that is dangerous. Don't go into it. Just say no. Never be alone together. Always make sure that somebody else is with you, preferably if it's a woman, that her husband is there or her father is there. Limit your physical contact, because that can be stimulating. Control your eyes all the time, and you won't have to worry about controlling them in a ministry situation. Watch your words, because they reveal your heart. Don't get personal and start talking about things she shouldn't know or things that you shouldn't know. Be objective, so if a rebuke is necessary, you can give it. Consider your wisdom, that it comes from God. Keep a good, open communication with your wife. Stay accountable. Keep the intimacy in your relationship, and don't give any of your affection that belongs to your wife to anyone else. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.